we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for being a listener to At the Core and all other American Family Radio programs. This is a great day right now. I think we're going to see it's happening right now, the vote for Kash Patel. Now, why do I bring so much emphasis to Kash Patel? Because he's kind of like this is the linchpin one on the deep state, on the swamp. I mean, you know, all these other ones have been fantastic. I celebrated, you know, the RFK thing, spent most of the program last week talking about that. Clearly Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, a lot of these former Democrats and leftists that have come over to our side that are now fighting for the cause, I view them as the men and women of Issachar. They, you know, they left Saul to go fight for David, and they says that they did so because they understood the times and they knew what to do. And I think that's exactly what these former Democrats are all about. And I love the fact that they're being in charge of being put in charge of the institutions that harassed them, that treated them wrong, and they now get to clean house and right the ship, if you will. Great news, by the way, over at the DOJ. Total cleaning of house. They're getting rid of the U.S. attorneys and others that had supported the weaponization of our Department of became the Department of Injustice. It was absolutely. It risked destroying the whole republic. I don't say that lightly. I mean, you cannot have a righteous nation without justice. You cannot have a system of, you can't have a free enterprise system if you don't have a justice system that works and that people have faith in. You certainly can't have liberty if all of those things are being abused by a weaponized Department of Justice. It was a precarious time, folks. I mean, that over the course of that 4 years, they did so much damage to our institutions and to the belief in the American value system. And so it's going to take time to recover from that. But the fact that Donald Trump is going in there and that he has clearly instructed Pam Bondi to clean house and that they're willing to fire people, that they're willing to go in and actually bring justice. Because you don't get true justice if you just stop doing the bad things that you were doing. You have to also bring to justice those who were doing the bad things. That's absolutely necessary in order to restore faith in the system. And so the bringing to justice those people that did such evil and wrong things over the last 4 years begins with firing them, getting them off the government dole, getting them out of this situation where we've been paying for them to destroy the American system. We have been lining their pockets, making people like Anthony Fauci extremely wealthy while he destroys the nation and destroys our healthcare system and destroys our faith in the institutions and all of those things. So I love what is happening right now in just these first 3 or 4 weeks. The quite literally scorched earth, cleaning house, getting rid of the bad players, and hopefully then bringing them to justice. Well, to do that, to bring them to justice, you have to have both an attorney general in Pam Bondi and an FBI director in a guy like Kash Patel that are on board with that game plan and that know where the bodies are buried, that know where the skeletons are, that know who the people were that did the evil. And Kash Patel is that guy. And so I think the reason that there's been, that he's kind of the last one here out of all the big ones, is that this will tell us right now, this vote is if this vote goes through. And right now it looks like 36 to 24. They're you know, the senators are taking their time, going up front and casting their vote right now. 36-25, there's another no. And there's already at least one Republican that has said they're going to vote no, Susan Collins. The usual suspects are the ones we have to worry about here. Susan Collins, Murkowski, McConnell. You know, he can afford to lose those three and no more. And so I don't know any inside baseball on this, folks. I haven't talked to anybody, any friends at the White House or anything. So I don't know if there's a guarantee here. The fact that they're taking the vote tells me that it's probably going to go through. But we're going to see. This is so interesting to me that, you know, it's this close. Anyway, if he is approved here in the next few minutes and he becomes the head of the FBI, Now, you know, I've said this on the program, if you're a longtime listener, I frankly think the FBI should be wiped out completely. I am no longer a fan. I am no longer supportive of weaponizing, even allowing for the weaponization of any of these federal agencies. Constitutionally speaking, the only federal agency that I can think of that should be weaponized at all is the Border Patrol, because there's a specific Article 1, Section 8 power given to Congress on immigration, and therefore you would have to have an armed Border Patrol to prevent people from violating the immigration laws passed by Congress. Of course, that hasn't been done for the last 4 years, but it is now, they've been unleashed and they've been allowed to do their job, and so we are now doing those things. So that should be what. But the idea that we have armed people at the Department of Education, at the EPA, at all these unconstitutional agencies, that in and of itself is nuts. Even if you're going to have those agencies, there should be no police force for those types of agencies, but they do. They have it. So hopefully President Trump's getting rid of all of that as well. It's only been 3.5 weeks. We'll see what happens as we go down the road. But the FBI is one of those that it's going to be controversial to say that we should get rid of them, because most people, up until the last 4 years, most people in America looked at the FBI and said, man, that's the top cop. That's the dream law enforcement position. If you were in law enforcement, and I'm a pro law enforcement guy, I'm very much a back the blue guy. If that's you, then you probably grew up like me viewing the FBI as the best of the best. And that if you were in law enforcement, that you dreamed of attaining that type of position. That was just the perception. Now, maybe that's Hollywood. Maybe it's just the movies and television that planted that in my mind and so many other Americans. But at the same time, we saw them in real life do things like, thwart kidnappings and go after, terrorists and things like that. So here's the thing, though. Do you need an FBI to do that? Do you need a federal Bureau of Investigation to do that? Remember, they weren't around until the 1930s. I mean, they really were created as an instrument to enforce prohibition. And so I would argue, and I'm literally, I get it. I'm talking off the top of my head. If you're a caller out there, or listener out there, and you're an expert on this, please call in. Help educate me on this. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. But I just don't understand why you cannot have compacts and agreements between states and some sort of national association with your sheriff's departments and your state, Department of Public Safety or whatever you might have in the individual states, and they work together to share information, to have a database to share information and to deal with criminals that flee across state lines and all that kind of stuff. And they already do that. So I guess part of it is my state side of me takes great offense at, even in the movies, when the FBI shows up and the feds are here, now they're in charge, and they treat the local law enforcement like a bunch of Barney Fife local yokels, when in fact they're more qualified to deal with a local situation than the FBI is. They come in and knowing nothing about that particular area and tell these guys that live there and know the situation what to do. That's common sense says that doesn't make any sense. So anyway, I lay all that groundwork to simply say I'm still for getting rid of the FBI. I just don't think it's a legit purpose of the federal government based on the Constitution. Now, if there's a need if there's a specific, epidemic, problem, whatever, and maybe drugs, maybe, terrorism, maybe something, that you can convince me that cannot be fought without a federal Bureau of Investigation to deal with it, then you got to sell me on that. You got to convince me of that, and show me where you can prevent the weaponization of that agency against law-abiding citizens, because that's the problem I have right now. That's what they've done for the last 4 years, and what that means is you could have an instrument that is an instrument of good in the hands of good people, but then when it's in the hands of bad people, like it has been for the last 4 years, these political hacks that have used that agency to persecute and destroy lives, then you have to say, okay, if it's that bad, is that a poison pill now where this entire agency cannot be redeemed? And I have had friends tell me that it can't be redeemed, that the rot in the culture of the FBI is so bad because of allowing this. And it must be bad if if you have a director and you have a top brass that has been willing to do the things they've done over the last 4 years. And I'm talking about not just the J6ers and the way they treated them and the absolute abuse of power that was used by the FBI against J6ers, but I'm also talking about the pro-lifers, the grandmas that we arrested for simply trying to save babies and simply peacefully protesting. I'm talking about Mark Houck and the others that there was zero reason to go in at 5 o'clock in the morning and point in guns on kids and do what they did to him when that whole situation had been a year before. And even if he did shove the guy on the sidewalk because he shoved his kid, that's self-defense. And in my opinion, needed to be done. And I probably would have done more than shove him if he shoved my kid. So, but anyway, that if those things are happening, which they are, then that tells me this whole thing of I'm just obeying orders. No. If your top brass is perpetrating evil using the power of the federal government, you talk about not being able to fight City Hall. You try fighting the federal government. If your top brass is telling you they're doing that, and then they're telling you, ordering you to go in and participate in such things and to execute such things. If the culture is not rotten, then you would have a slew of FBI agents over the last 4 years resigning in protest and holding, you know, their own protest and being on 60 Minutes and on Joe Rogan and having interviews talking about this shouldn't have happened. Okay, there were a couple. There were, I think, if I remember right, three or four that actually did speak up and say, they pulled us off of child sex trafficking and child predators to go chase down J6 grandmas. So though there were a handful. I'm talking, I really think it was only three or four. I'm pretty sure I can definitely count them on one hand. And so if that's all you've got out of thousands of FBI employees that are willing to come forward and say this is wrong, we shouldn't have been doing this, that tells me the culture is rotten over there. And so I don't know if Kash Patel, even if approved, can clean that out. I if there's anybody that can, this is the guy. He's got the receipts. He knows where to go. He knows what to do to make this happen. But I am a big believer that leadership matters, so much so that you can turn things around quickly sometimes, like Donald Trump is doing. But sometimes you got to just wipe it out and start over. So I'll tell you my concerns about this. Part of it is President Trump's praising of the FBI and his, you know, being excited about the big, beautiful building, you know, that they're going to get and all that kind of stuff. That tells me he is definitely not for getting rid of the FBI. And he must have enough faith that Kash Patel can actually turn the institution around, clean it out, and get it back on track with at least what Congress originally intended for it to do. Whether or not you can make that constitutional or not, man, I'm open for debate. I just do not like the ability of a federal agency to do what it did over the last 4 years. Now, there's always a cost-benefit analysis. There's always pros and cons. And absolutely any institution can be weaponized. Any institution can be used for evil. And so I got to take a little of my own medicine as I'm thinking through this on the air that you know, sometimes people will say, I'm not going to support something like school choice because it could be used to regulate homeschoolers or private schools. And I always say, but that's why you have to have good legislators, because you could be regulated right now. So you have to constantly fight to prevent that regulation. So don't be afraid of doing a good thing because you're afraid somebody might use it for bad. And so maybe I need to take that medicine right now and say, you know, maybe with the FBI, maybe the president's right. Maybe Kash Patel can clean it up, and maybe it can go back to being used for good, and that we shouldn't completely get rid of it based on the fact that some bad people used it for bad. So I don't know. I'm really curious what you think. Should we get rid of it? Can Kash Patel clean it up? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The vote is happening right now. We'll give you an update when we come back. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
A vacation with a purpose. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's what we're calling our tours in 2025. If you're going with us, we're going to have a lot of fun, like a vacation, but it's also going to be a learning experience and a great time of fellowship with folks from all over the country who share your values, our Christian values, and respect our Christian heritage. We're going to Boston in October. We're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in June and September. Also in June and September, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So we got a lot planned for 2025. If you want to go with us on any of these tours, all you need to do is go to the website wildmangroup.com for all the information. WILDMON group.com, and we'd love for you to come with us.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Cash Patel vote happening right now in the United States Senate, 48-47 at this point. Now, according to Fox News, he can only afford to lose two GOP votes. I think it's three, though, because that would make it 50-50 and Vance could come break the tie like he did with Hegseth. But maybe somebody's out today. Maybe that's why they're saying that. You know, Mitch McConnell announced he's not going to run for re-election. Oh, gee, thanks. Like, think about that, folks. He's 83. If he ran for re-election next year and got elected and served, he'd be 90. Okay. Thanks, but no thanks. And by the way, don't just announce you're not retired, you're not going to run again. Resign. I'm sorry, Senator McConnell. I don't mean it in any disrespect, but George Washington, you are not. George Washington resigned twice and went home to be a farmer when he could have held on to power as long as he wanted. But he didn't, because he was a servant leader. He didn't wait till he couldn't speak and put two sentences together. He didn't wait till he couldn't walk. It's shameful. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Joe Biden's, the Mitch McConnell's, that are so selfish that they hold on to power as long as they possibly can. You know, if you hopefully love and get goosebumps when you hear America the Beautiful like I do, then you know there's that line in there about country more than self they loved. But these guys, it's self more than country that they love. And they show it over and over and over again. So maybe I'm ranting wrongly here. Maybe McConnell is resigning, actually going home, and they're going to have a special election and put somebody in the seat that can actually do the job for Kentucky for the next 2 years. But the idea that he would hold on and serve for two more years instead of letting the people of Kentucky have a special election, maybe it's because Beshear would get to appoint somebody and that person would get to finish out the term. I don't know. Maybe I could get behind that, but. He shouldn't have been there in the first place for this term. Somebody else should have been finishing out this term. So I don't know how they do it there in Kentucky, but they should be having a special election right now. That's what should happen, because there's a full 2 years left. But I bet that's why. I bet it's a Beshear, who's terrible, would get to appoint the replacement. And so that would make it even closer in the Senate and yada, yada, yada. Back to Cash Patel, back to the FBI. Before I go there, since I'm on Kentucky, I got to read this tweet. This is just so good. Rand Paul, this is what he said today. He said, "A few people may have noticed that I resisted an enthusiastic endorsement of Donald Trump during the election. But now I'm amazed by the Trump cabinet, many of whom I would have picked. I love his message to the Ukrainian warmongers, and along with his Doge initiative, shows I was wrong to withhold my endorsement. So today, admittedly a little tardy, I give Donald Trump my enthusiastic endorsement!" Exclamation point. And then in parentheses, he says, "Too little, too late, some will say, but you know, it is sincere, there is that." So thank you, Rand. By the way, he closes it out saying this: "Don't expect this endorsement to be fawning. I still think tariffs are a terrible idea, but Dios mio, what courage," which I think means, if I looked it up right, it means, oh my goodness, what courage, what tenacity. Go at real Donald Trump, go. I I mean, guys, this is great. I mean, look, I'm a Rand Paul fan myself. I like Rand Paul a lot. I think he's one of the best senators we've got. I don't agree with him on everything, but, man, probably 90%, 99%, I don't know. His dad, Ron Paul, I consider was a friend. I haven't talked to him in 20 years, but back when I was a state rep, we did events together because my district where I was a state rep was in his district where he was a congressman. And so we did a lot of cool stuff together, a lot of Second Amendment stuff. He actually supported me, endorsed me, gave money to my campaigns. One of the few incumbent kind of, you know, most people that are incumbents are sold out to the establishment, so they don't help rebel rousers like me. I was always a rebel, and he was always willing to help me. So Ron Paul was great to me. I don't know Rand. I don't think I've ever met him, but I follow him, and I love how he questions in committees. I love his positions on things, especially COVID and how he's handled all that, and then the way he's going after Fauci. So anyway, Rand Paul, thank you for the endorsement of Donald Trump. You're right; it is a little late, but I love the fact that it's sincere. So well done. And he said something else. I was trying to find it. He said, producer extraordinaire Bobby and I were talking off air about this, just some of these cuts that they're talking about doing, even over at the Defense Department. And Rand Paul said something that I think makes total sense. If you just give them less money, there'll be less waste. No matter how much money you give them, there's going to be some waste within that. So shrink, shrink, shrink. Cut everywhere that you possibly can. Okay, let's get back to Kash Patel and the FBI and the whole thing about, you know, can it actually be, you know, corrected? Can it be fixed? Oh, by the way, it looks like, he has been confirmed, 51-49. 51-49, that's what Fox News is reporting. Kash Patel is now going to be the director of the FBI. This is huge, folks. This is big. Yes. Bam. Yes. Let's cheer. I got to tell you, pinching. If you're watching on video, I am pinching myself right now. I am sore all over for the last 3.5 weeks. I've had to pinch just to find out, am I really awake? Is this actually happening? Is this real life or is this Rick's dream world where we would get all of these people running these agencies that are actually going to clean house, where we would already be uncovering over $1 trillion in fraud, waste, and abuse, where we are talking about abolishing entire agencies, and where we're talking about putting a guy in charge of the FBI that has publicly said and written an entire book on it, where the skeletons are, you know, hidden, what you need to do to clean house and turn this thing around. So if there's any chance of actually making the FBI a respectable agency again, and it no longer being weaponized against the American people and being used as a political hack persecution tool to go after your political enemies. If there's any chance of making that happen and doing that, Kash Patel is what the doctor ordered. He's absolutely the right guy for the job. So I say praise the Lord, folks. Praise the Lord for all of these things happening that I truly, truly thought were just going to be in my dreams. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we'll head to Texas first. Beth, you are up first today. What's your comment, question, or insult? Go for it.
I was just going to comment on the birth of the FBI. It actually began during the Osage Indian murders.
That was in Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah.
The same time as Prohibition, but it was began by J. Edgar Hoover at that time, but they were investigating the murders.
Do you remember, I'm going to look this up and maybe comment more on it next Tuesday, but it seems like in my memory that it was not even a congressional creation, that initially it was a presidential creation, and then, of course, you know, the Congress has to fund it, and so it's been authorized since then. But in the very beginning, in the 30s, was it just a presidential thing, or do you know off the top of your head? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to find.
I'm not sure, and I'm driving, so I can't okay. Look it up.
All right, but, no problem.
It was a book called "Killers of the Flower Moon."
Didn't they make a movie about that recently?
I have not seen the movie, but I'll have to check into it.
I don't know. It sounds like a movie that I didn't see.
Yeah, you're right. They did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Leonardo. Yeah, thank you, Bobby. I think that's right. Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe. Anyway, well, cool. Beth, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Great call. I'll do a little more homework on that one, and we'll chat more about it next Tuesday, but appreciate that. Okay, Bruce in Arkansas. Go Hogs, go. Bruce, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, I'm doing good and happy to hear the announcement about cash.
My big one, eh?
Feeling that's about... Go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead. I was just saying it's a big one.
Yeah, big time. We've been praying. 2 months ago, I just said, yeah, let's get rid of them. But now, with the way things are going for our president and with cash being in there, I think let's give them a chance. I think we should give them a chance because they're doing some great stuff now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, I could potentially be persuaded. For sure, I think you... And I think you said it right. You got to give them a chance. I think this is one of those great situations. Well, first of all, you're not going to be able to just wipe it out quickly. There's going to be a lot of opposition to that. It's going to require some civil discourse and debate and discussion and talk about what they can do and can't do and all that sort of thing. But I think you're right. I think at the very least, see what they can do quickly, and see. There's also, how do I say this carefully here? There's some immediate turning of the tables that needs to take place. So there are certainly there's a lot of this fraud, waste, and abuse that Elon is uncovering that is going to have to be investigated. And while I absolutely still think my theory is right that you can go back, you know, 80, 90 years to prior to an FBI existing and do just fine with investigating these kind of things, the mechanism is there right now. So use it for good. Use it for good to find out where have all these millions of checks gone that to 110, 120, 130 year olds and you know, who's cashing those checks, because that is illegal. That is fraud on the American people. And every one of those people need to be prosecuted. And at a minimum, hey, cash, go use some level of the FBI to go figure out who that is and turn that information over to local authorities to prosecute. I've always thought that a warrant for an individual should not ever be served by the FBI, but should always be served by local law enforcement. And if FBI is the one doing the investigation, they should have to go through the local sheriff to serve that warrant. So that as an example of where, at a minimum, let's curb the FBI's power and authority. Now, as I'm thinking out loud here, and, you know, we were joking during the break that I'm basically debating with myself today on the air. It's green versus green, trying to figure out what the answer to this is. Maybe at a minimum, you could essentially trim the sails of the FBI and say that the FBI is not allowed to go in and serve a warrant without local law enforcement being the one to lead that, unless the one exception I could see is if the FBI truly believes and is investigating on good, you know, sources and evidence that it is local law enforcement itself that is the you know, perpetrator of evil and breaking the law and must be investigated. Or, you know, again, I'm arguing with myself and thinking this through on the air live, but maybe it has to be that the state agency, whatever, and it's different in every state. So that's why in Texas, I know what I would say: the Department of Public Safety and the Texas Rangers would have first shot at that, right? Like they would be the ones that would investigate that potentially corrupt local law enforcement. And then if the FBI, if you have to go all the way up federal, and you believe that even those state agencies are corrupt, then you need a federal. Which I get the fact that a lot of what people see as the good of the FBI is that they were going into places in the South where you had racism and corruption and in the, you know, 50s and 60s, and you needed an outside agency to prevent those local power structures from violating civil rights laws. That was a big part of what I think people perceived as the good of the FBI, and probably there was, you know, Mississippi Burning and movies like that highlighted some of those things. Anyway, all right, I'll stop arguing with myself. Let's try to get one more call in before we go to the break. If you'd like to call in, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Going back to Texas, Paul in Texas. Paul, you're up next, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I heard you mentioning about, you know, things being bad under O'Biden for FBI agents and the suggestion that they should resign. And
I appreciate it. I appreciated whether it was a Freudian slip or you intended it. I liked it. O'Biden. That was good. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it was intentional. We all our listeners know what we're talking about. Say you're a 12-year FBI veteran is, and then Obama gets elected, and 8 years later it goes from bad to really, really bad, and then here comes Joe Biden, and they do things like pull you off of real criminal investigations to go chase down people that walk through the Capitol building. You know they want you to resign because they want to get rid of you because your heart's not going to be in it. You're not going to do half the criminal things they ask you to. And once they get you to resign, then they can replace you with one of their own. So I'm thinking the better strategic move is if you can whistleblow, but biding your time is a big payoff. Think of all the agents, the good ones that are still there that didn't let Biden replace them, and now they can serve under Cash Patel.
It's possible. I think, Paul, every individual's got to make their own decision, and I can't hear God for the individual of what they ought to do. This is kind of parallel to, it's very similar to people that came to me from very blue states and said, should I move into a red state to make that red state stronger? And I said, man, I can't hear God for you. Some people definitely need to do that. Get your family out of these horrible places and get into a state where you can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you can support good candidates and all those things. But then for other people, it needs to be exactly what you just described. They need to stay behind enemy lines and fight there to make it better and to improve it. And so I think a single FBI agent was probably faced with exactly what you're describing. If I leave, they're going to replace me with somebody worse, and I need to be here for when the good guys come back in. The problem I have with that is that then if everybody does that, or if most of them do that, then you don't bring enough attention to it. You don't show what's happening, and you're part of the perpetration of evil. So if you're having to obey orders that are causing you to, you know, go into a pro-lifer's home at 5 o'clock in the morning and beat down the door of a J6er that didn't do any violence on January 6th or whatever it might be, whatever the execution might be, then you're being used for evil in the meantime. So I can't across the board say that that's a good plan. Maybe there were some individuals in the upper brass that. I don't know. Maybe in a particular situation that might make sense. But I think generally speaking, while that might be a good strategy in some situations, I think in this case with the FBI, I disagree. I think they should have quit en masse. And then like the military being reinstated with back pay, I think President Trump and Cash Patel could do that for those who would have resigned. But here we are. Hindsight's 2020. A lot of those good guys are still there and gives Cash something to rebuild with. We'll see what happens. Quick break. We'll be right back. Phone number is 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. We're talking about Cash Patel now. The FBI, or will be the FBI director sworn in very shortly. He has been approved by the Senate. I hate saying approved because, you know, it's with the advice and consent. So I guess consented to would be the proper constitutional term. Anyway, 51-49, very, very close, of course. But huge, huge win. And we've been debating whether or not you can actually turn the FBI around. Is it too rotten underneath and the things that they've done? And, you know, interesting debate. Let's go back to the phones, 888-589-8840. And let's see, Randy's up next in Oklahoma. Randy, go ahead, man. Randy,
yeah,
with
did
me?
You say yeah, Randy?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought I was behind three others. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to do a shout out for Cash Patel, and I'm excited to see what happens in the next month.
No doubt.
In the FBI. And also, just this morning, I was listening to a conservative talk program, and here in Oklahoma, it's Jake Merritt, and he's a former state legislator, and he had a gentleman that he was interviewing who's also a state legislator, and and the man was trying to do some things, pass some legislation that's family-friendly, and also faith had things to do with faith. And he was talking about our legislators, and he was telling Jake that even though every county voted red, you know, for President Trump in Oklahoma, that our state legislators don't understand the Constitution and tend to vote more like what the national news media, you know, they think there's separation of church and state and this and that, and, you know, and they fight against, and he's,
well,
you
I
know, and so I'm just, I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
I just think that every single county should have some strong individuals, and Oklahoma has those people. I know Garfield County, where I live, they do, and they should be established there, and every single county have people like that and have Constitution classes, and then, you know, work with you and with Wall Builders. I've been a fan of Wall Builders for 40 years now, and you know, and just work with these legislators like the Freedom Caucus does with the federal branches. And,
yeah, Randy, I'm just curious. So what part of Oklahoma are you in?
I'm out of Garfield County. I'm a truck driver, so I'm out on the road right now.
Okay, so Garfield County.
Northwest.
Northwest, okay.
Northwest Oklahoma.
I'm trying to remember where Senator Bullard's from. I just had him on Wall Builders the other day, and we were talking about some of the, oh, like the Ten Commandments, you know, bill to get the Ten Commandments back in the schools.
Yeah.
You know, religious liberty bills, and he's fantastic, and he's working on some of that. And we've got quite a few Constitution coaches in Oklahoma. I can't remember exactly how many. We've got 30,000 across the country. But what you're describing is the answer. You have to have local citizens, just like you described, that step up and say, I'm gonna open my living room or my church or whatever it might be, and I'm going to invite people over. We're going to get more people educated on the Constitution so that we can then hold the state legislators accountable to constitutional principles. And not only study the U.S. Constitution, but study their state constitution. And that's the answer. We're doing it all over the country. I would encourage you, man, do it yourself. Sign up to be a Constitution coach. And even if you're a trucker and you're on the road, you can host online. You can do a Zoom class and get people back home to log in, you know, once a week and just make sure you're stopped for that night. And you can jump on with them and host that class or, you know, get your church to do that, introduce the biblical citizenship class, which is a constitution class and biblical course on how to be a good citizen. You're 100% right. That is the answer. And we have a plug and play system for people to do that. It's just that we need more people to do that. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. We need more people. We've got to have 100,000 Constitution coaches by July 4th, 2026 is when I'd like to see that done. We've got 30,000 now, so we need about, a 300% increase, a little more than that, in just over a year. And so, Randy, get after it, brother. You are the answer to exactly what you just said. All right. Let's go to Kentucky, since we've been talking about Kentucky. Mark, you're up next, man. Hey, go ahead.
Yes, sir, Coach Green, head Coach Green. And there's I'm out of pun there because you admonish us, you guide us, you help us use our heads, our God-given brains to process and figure out the truth, right?
Amen.
So and also, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I just heard that. I didn't know. But we're getting the government gangster, dude, man, the guy like wrote the book. Oh, my.
Yeah,
praise
huge,
the Lord.
Man.
Thank you, Father. That is awesome.
No doubt.
And hey, so in Kentucky, we've got this guy, Mitch, who's been around forever.
Yeah.
And I would say a few things. One, you know, because we were involved and I got to meet Matt Bevin. He was an awesome dude.
Oh, he was great,
he came
man.
Here to run.
Bring
oh,
him back.
Yeah,
I hope he runs for this seat.
Well, you know, he ran for it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even, you know, the RNC didn't even, in our area here in Western Kentucky, didn't even acknowledge the guy. And he was a great guy. Now, I don't know why. See, he comes up from the Northeast. No, he was not really from here, but Matt. But you know, he served as governor for a term. But you know, we've got a lot of things going on here. We've got federal programs. We've got I would go so far as to say I learned this term actually when I was working for a company here in Kentucky, nepotism, the kinds of things that go on where you just don't know. And I just wish I lift up Kentucky because it's a great state.
Yeah.
Great place, but there's a lot of
Brother, I'm telling you, you're not alone in that. That is even the reddest of red states have their corruption, have their politicians that have been around forever. I mean, in Texas, everybody thinks we're red. We're not. We're purple. I mean, we've got a legislature that is so there's so many problems. There's a lot of really good guys and gals, but there's some lousy ones. And then there's just the nature of man. You know, that's the whole reason that the founders designed our constitutional republic the way they did is to have those checks and balances. And I truly believe that I don't think term limits is a panacea. I don't think it's a perfect silver bullet. It's not going to solve everything. But at least it creates an additional separation of powers. In other words, it makes it where you got to rearrange the seats more often and not leave a guy like Mitch McConnell in there for more than four decades. That's just bad for everybody. It's bad for him. It's bad for the people of Kentucky. It's bad for the country. I don't care who they are. I don't care how well-meaning they are. No one needs to be in the swamp that long. It's just not good. There are, I know a lot of people in Congress and state legislatures and political office all over the country. And I mean, out of all of those thousands of people in public office that I know or have met or been around or worked with, I can probably count on one hand. In fact, I can actually right now only think of one. But there's only a few that have been in the swamp for more than, I'm going to say 15 years, but for sure more than 20 years. That kept their integrity and that are still useful, like they're still working hard, they're not furniture, they're not just self-serving, they're actually still working for the cause. And it's just rare. It is so rare for somebody to be there that long. And so I'm a big fan of term limits. I think it should be done at every level. I mean, I know some people say, well, yeah, at the federal level, we definitely need it, not so much at the state level. No, I think you need it across the board, and I don't even have a set number. I'm open to it being 20 years. Maybe it's 10 years. Or in the House and 10 years in the Senate or whatever. Maybe it's maybe you just do a totality. You only get 20 years in state office or federal office or whatever. But I'm telling you, these people like McConnell and Pelosi and Biden that spend 40, 50 years living off of the taxpayers, and it's just not good. It's just not healthy. Now, I will say in Texas, the good thing in Texas is they can't get rich on the salary itself. They've got to be corrupt if they're getting rich in office, because as a state rep, I only got $600 a month. As state senators, you only get $600. As Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick only gets $600 a month. And so he's got to maintain these other jobs. You got to do these other things. And I think that helps keep you somewhat grounded. And at least in Texas, you only meet for 5 months every 2 years. So it's not a full-time gig and you can still work and all of that. But and even our statewides, they only make like, I think, 140, 150, something like that. Not huge. So all of that to say, Kentucky is not the only one with the problem. And it is every state. All right, let's go back to the phones. Man, let's see, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas. Let's try another state here. Kevin in Mississippi, I didn't even read what you're calling in about. Go for it, brother. It's all yours.
Yeah, I wanted to just make an obvious, simple, common sense comment about all this complaining about unelected officials having access to our personal data. So the question I have is, who at the IRS is elected? And the answer is nobody.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Single employee at the IRS is an unelected official that has access to our personal data.
That's
the craziest argument I ever heard. So that's all I got.
Hey, man, it's good.
Praise God for Gas Patel.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you did.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you calling in. Great point. I mean, and think about the complaint, right? If the complaint is that Elon Musk has access to this data, Elon Musk is working on behalf of the president. He is serving at the pleasure of the president. He is authorized by the president to do everything that he's doing. So this idea that we're somehow, like you said, giving this information to some unelected person that's rogue is ignoring the chain of command, is ignoring the fact that the president of the United States has to bring in an entire team, has to have thousands of people as a part of the administration to go administer all of these absurd agencies that have been created. If you really want to prevent that, you know, having to have bring in a whole team like that, then slash and burn, baby. Get rid of so many of these agencies that shouldn't exist in the first place, and the president wouldn't need as much of a team to oversee that. But 100%, he is constitutionally authorized to bring these people like Elon Musk in as a part of his team to go audit, to go investigate, to go look under the hood, to even just help manage and help make decisions about what should stay and what should go, and the best way to implement and to do the president's job under Article 2, which is to faithfully execute the law. All right, back to the phone. Stacy in Texas is up next. Stacy, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
I'll just make a quick comment, and then I have a question. Cash Patel talked about like dismantling the FBI, but he's the head of the FBI, so I had a thought, can he mirror the FBI agency with sort of a new accountability agency of the FBI so they can quickly assess all the changes before moving on? I would suspect that there's several field offices and cases that are under a mission statement of the old FBI that are not, you know, not constitutional. Shouldn't be cases, and use AI to help this new accountability agency look at all these cases and make sure they're constitutional. And then, you know, while you're gutting and overhauling the FBI with the constitutional mission statement, I mean, is that feasible? How does Cash Patel, head of FBI, saying that he was going to completely get rid of the, you know, J. Edgar Hoover building, how does he intend to overhaul what he's part of, I guess I'm asking?
No, I think he can. I mean, I think a lot of what you're saying can be done, and is probably sort of what they're going to do. I mean, in other words, if a company will go bankrupt or be near bankruptcy, and the board will fire the CEO and bring in some new temporary CEO that's essentially a consultant, and their job is to get the company back on track and slash and burn, and maybe sometimes completely remake the company or take it into bankruptcy and dissolve it and create a new company that has a fresh start. And so I don't know which of those paths Cash is planning to do, but I think it'll be a lot like what you just described, which is most likely from within. As the director, he's going to have the ability to slash and burn, the ability to remake, to you know, get rid of entire you know, departments within the department, and totally change the direction and the mission if that is what the president wants him to do. So I think it is not at all inconceivable that you would be put in charge of an agency in order to completely wipe out that agency. I don't think that's the direction they're going, just because the president has. I just don't think that's what they'll end up doing. I think it'll be more like what you describe in terms of kind of mirroring some of the things that they were doing that were good, wiping out the things that weren't good, but probably not renaming it. Maybe. I mean, a lot of times you need that makeover. You need that facelift. That you know. Now you don't want to just recreate the exact same dangers and the exact same bad things and call it something else. But if you can salvage the good, then do so. And I'll stay on my position that I think it should be wiped out completely. I don't think that's where they're going to go. So I think they will try to salvage what they can and use it for good. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see. But great day, folks. It is a great day. Just the fact that Cash was confirmed says so much, not just about what's going to happen with the FBI, but this administration and even Congress now following the lead of Donald Trump all the way to even Cash Patel being confirmed. It's a great day in America. Thanks for listening. I'm Rick Green. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. You ever wonder why our society is so ravenous to abort babies? Well, according to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents. They sickly believe that the blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies, in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. Every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. Donate securely today. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 or go to preborn.com, preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.